we have found in our own business that yellow works really well. Red is often too aggressive, and passive colors like blue or green tend to also not work as well.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here, and this episode is a split test results episode. I've got my friend from Lead Pages, Clay Collins, on the line. G'day, Clay.
James, it's great to be here. I'm looking forward to Fast Web Formula 4. I've started packing my bags. That's why I'm that's how eager I am for this.
Yeah, well, I'm getting pretty excited about it. I've just loaded up a new video to the sales page. We've got ticket sales coming in, and I'm mapping out the course content, and the part that I've got for you is leads and conversions, because it's such a crucial part of any online business, and I've been delving right into it. In fact, I'll kick this off with some of the things I've been up to with my lead pages lately. Is I've been split testing lead pages with a new campaign that I'm running, and we're taking a first name and email address on the first lead pages setup, and then we actually pass variables through to a form where we collect the second round of details. And I've managed to hook this up via Office Autopilot to follow up people who don't make it to the second form. But knowing that the first part of that conversion process is split tested and that I'm getting the best possible opt-in rate is really going to improve the overall campaign results when we apply quite a lot of advertising budget to it. So I'm interested in your latest round of test results, as I know our listeners are. One of them, I think you actually did some sort of testing around this first name email versus just email field. Is that right?
Yeah. So I'm very fortunate in that, you know, having a landing page platform, you know, we keep everyone's results private. So I can't necessarily go in and see like individual conversion results among our customers. I think that's a violation of privacy, but I'm lucky that a lot of our clients come to me and say, here are the results that we're getting with lead pages and with your software. And so the first sort of split test I want to report on is from Juan Martitegui from Mind Valley Hispano. And he did a couple of different split tests. The first was looking at the opt-in rate with versus without asking for the first name. And Juan found a increase of 5.2%, right? So a 5.2% relative increase when he dropped the first name. So what I'm saying is, actually, that's a very small difference. So I'm not saying it's like 20% versus 25%. I'm saying that the relative increase was 5.25%. So for him, he found that difference fairly negligible, and he has continued to ask for the first name. And folks' response or results might vary from market to market, but that's what he was getting with his traffic.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And I would be really interested in the follow-up to that to find out over the cycle of that customer if having that first name field improves the conversion somewhere in the track. I mean, I still use a first name field in my emails because when I imported my AWeber list into Office Autopilot, I was able to bring across a lot of first names because I've always been collecting the first name up until recently. But what have you done in your case for your own opt-ins, Clay?
Yeah, so we don't ask for the first name, and we did this based on some interesting research. The first came in from the Next Web. They wrote an interesting article called "Hey Startups, Don't Start Your Emails with Dear Name. 95% of people hate it." So, you know, there's a couple things going on here. I personally am not a fan of collecting first names. I noticed that when I write to my closest friends, I never say, "Dearest Jonathan," you know, I'll just be like, "Hey, I'm doing this tomorrow at this time. Let's get together and talk about it," right? I never really address them by first name. Another thing is that in this day and age, people get that your emails are, you know, they understand they're on your email list, right? And when they get an email from me, it's not like I'm fooling them, right? It's kind of like a lot of these automated webinars that happen. People know when they're automated. And it's only disingenuous to kind of pretend like it's live. These emails are not personal communications. So in this study by the Next Web, it reported that 95% of people hate it when there is subject line personal organization. Also, the organization MailerMailer reported that when there is subject line personalization, it depresses open rate, right? So most people, when they write to their friends, do not include their friend's name in the subject line. So this is really research around subject line. I would only imagine that this would also generalize to the body of the email. Now, reasonable people disagree about this all the time, but when you compound or combine these results with the fact that opt-in rates do go down slightly when you ask for the first name, I've come down on the side of not asking for this. Again, reasonable people disagree about this, and there are people, no matter what you say to them, like literally you can show them all the evidence in the world and they're pretty adamant about collecting the first name, which is absolutely fine. A lot of people, this is kind of interesting, a lot of people wanted us to add the ability to collect the first name to lead pages, and we've done that, by the way, but a lot of people added that because they wanted to be able to, during webinars, address people by name when folks are asking questions. And again, we've done the test. There is no increase in conversion when you address people by name in a webinar. People pretty much just want to get their questions answered. And so your ability to skillfully answer questions as opposed to calling, you know, addressing them by name is a much bigger determinant of whether or not those webinars can convert. Again, smart people disagree about this, but this is my position.
Wow, that's awesome. In fact, I would love it if our listeners could actually comment on this post on superfastbusiness.com. If you've been receiving emails from me and I've used your name in the email, I would love to know if that offends you or if you think it's right or wrong. I think maybe my theory, my hunch is that because I say at the end of the email that I reply to all emails, it kind of personalizes a bit. I mean, I am getting a lot of customers email me too, like you're getting people sending you test results. I'm getting people say, hey, thanks very much. I just made $30,000 using one of the techniques you mentioned on a podcast and stuff. I'm like, well, that's cool. So I guess it comes down to the communication you have with your customers. All right, well, let's move on to the next topic. This one revolves around server speed, and you've made it known that your lead pages software is running on very, very fast server, the same one that Google uses, and it has a very fast load time. But you also offer people the ability to download the whole lead page and upload it to their own server if they want to run it in a remote environment. Is that the case?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a variety options for publishing lead pages. The first option is you can host it on our servers. We actually just do that for you. You don't have to do any special work. It's just sort of out of the box. We shoot you a URL that you can use. Another way is through WordPress. You can also download the file and put it on your own servers. Various levels of sort of hosting. So even when you download, with one of the options, you can download the file and put it on your server. But even when you do that, it's pulling all the images from Google servers and it's pulling the CSS from Google servers, and the file itself is combined. So there's really only 1 to 2 files in addition to the images that it's pulling. So it's, even when it's on your own server, it's still really, really optimized. Probably the slowest option is when you use Facebook, because Facebook, and this has nothing to do with us, but Facebook just takes a lot of time to load the results of Facebook tabs. But yes, so our servers are incredibly fast. We're on Google's server network. So the very same servers that Google uses, we're using. And we recently, again, from Juan Martitegui at Mindvalley, great guy. You can find him at juanmartitegui.com. But Juan sent us some split test results around this as well. Something that's interesting about Juan is he's an absolute pro. He's been doing this for years. You know, they're a 7-figure, if not an 8-figure information company, just the Spano version of Mindvalley. And they found that they got almost a 10% relative increase in conversion rate when they used our URL. So when they used the leadpages.net URL, so it's like mindvalleyhispano.leadpages.net, resulted in almost a 10% increase in conversion rate. And there's a few reasons behind that. There's actually quite an interesting base of research around this. It's been found that 40% of people abandon a website that takes more than 3 seconds to load. So you know, if someone doesn't wait for a website to load, then certainly they're not going to opt in. So that in and of itself is going to lower conversion rate. And generally speaking, the according to a report by Kissmetrics, a 1 second delay in paid response can result in a 7% reduction in conversion. So just to put all of this into perspective, if an e-commerce site is making $100,000 per day, a 1 second page delay could cost $2.5 million over the course of over a year. So this stuff isn't, you know, it isn't just pie in the sky idealistic stuff. The page speed really affects the dollars and cents of your business. So it's really important.
And I can also attest that there's a lot of users out there who have slow internet, and I was one of them for the last 4 years. I've only realized how slow it was when I've had access to faster internet. Like, I mean, I know what Facebook looks like before you see all that blue stuff. I know what the structure is as it loads, put it that way. So we can't assume that people sitting there on 12,000 Mbps or whatever. And that's why the other thing is that the mobile version of the lead pages is excellent. I've used it on my mobile phone before, and it seems to render really nicely.
Yeah, almost all. We're about 75% of lead pages are mobile responsive. And again, that affects conversion rate. If someone has to, you know, like pinch and scroll and whatever it's called to make the page visible, and they're moving from area to area, obviously, you know, the likelihood that they're going to opt in is pretty low. And also, mobile devices generally don't have the same amount of bandwidth. So page speed is even more important, and it's actually amplified on mobile devices, because if it takes a long time to load on a mobile device, maybe you've got, you know, a video and a whole bunch of other things that are hogging up bandwidth, folks generally aren't going to wait around. They're getting another phone call, their cab is coming, like who knows what's going on, you know, while they're waiting for that page to load on a mobile device. And so page speed is even more of the essence. It also is a heavy factor, you know, as you know, James, when it comes to SEO. Google in their Webmaster Central blog came out and said on a 2010 post, so back in the day, that one of the signals they're going to use to rank pages is page speed. If a website takes a long time to load, and they know that the user that they've sent there isn't going to have a good experience, and that page simply doesn't belong at the top of the SERPs. So this isn't just about conversion rate. It's also about traffic, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. Page speed is important. All right, now you've just added a feature called one-click editing, and I watched a demo of this. It's essentially where you can install a bookmark chiclet on your browser, and if you happen to be browsing to your lead page on the internet, you can now edit it on the spot. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, we definitely scratch our own itch. I use lead pages extensively in our own business, and I found myself wanting to make changes to various lead pages, but not doing it, because in order to edit that page, I had to, you know, I'd be browsing and I'd see a lead page that I wanted to edit, and I realized I have to log in, then I have to like find the page, then I have to load it up, then I have to edit it, then I had to save it. I had to do all this stuff to get to the point where I can edit that page. And I was thinking, what if there was a bookmarklet that I could just click on when I'm at one of my lead pages and instantly be in the editor? And so that's what we did. We made it so that during the course of browsing your own sites, if you see a headline you want to change, or if you see something that you want to switch around, you can literally click on one button and be editing that page. And so it cuts down on the number of clicks that is required of you to edit your page. So if you want to quickly make a copy of your page and create a split test, or you want to change something and see how it affects your opt-in rate, you can do that in a short period of time. And our belief is that the more easy we can make this tool, the more likely folks are going to be to improve their own pages and see better results.
All right, man, this is awesome. You've given us some good product features, some test results. I'm going to put you up to a little challenge. Can we do a little rapid fire round of some random questions?
Yeah, I never know what these are going to be.
I know. Just so, listener, just for your benefit, I never tell Clay what we're going to be talking about. I like the spontaneity. What is the strangest lead page you've ever seen someone apply?
You know, some of the weird ones have been from the seduction market, and we have a number of customers in the seduction market, you know, ranging from how to get married to kind of some weirder stuff, right? Like stuff you wouldn't even think of would be sold. And I don't want to get into specifics because I don't want to insult any of our customers. We back them up in every way that we can, as long as what's happening is ethical. But I would say some of the stuff in the seduction market and all the weird niches within the seduction market, you'd be kind of interested in, you know, maybe we could talk after this, but in some of the sub niches of the seduction market, because they're definitely interesting.
Nice. All right. Now, button color, is it important or not?
You know, I don't have access to enough research on this. We have found in our own business that yellow works really well. Red is often too aggressive, and passive colors like blue or green tend to also not work as well. The most important thing, however, is that the action item you want folks to take stands out, right? So if your entire website is blue, you don't want the button color on your buy now buttons or your opt-in buttons to be blue. You want them to be something that sort of beautifully sticks out, right? So that's sort of the main feature, or the main factor, is that folks are drawn to it, that it doesn't blend in, that it sticks out.
All right. Now, if you were making a lead page right now for an email opt-in for a newsletter or a blog, what would be your sweetheart call to action text?
It would be download now. So I believe we talked last time about the difference between download
yep.
now.
So it's still your favorite?
Yeah, it's still my favorite. Still my favorite.
Download yep. now. And I noticed your sales video has changed. What's happening over there? You've Clay's gone and there's screenshots and music now.
Yes. So apparently people are more likely to purchase lead pages if they don't see my face.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm all I care about is that our work is getting in more people's hands. But we took a version of the sales page that had me in it and replaced it with motion graphics. And we also added sound. So it could be that the sound is more engaging and keeps people watching longer, and also that the motion graphics are more compelling than a talking head video. Hopefully it's not that my face is sort of like casting away demons and evil spirits and warding off cuss. Hopefully that's not the case.
Well, I doubt it. I'd say most girls would probably think you're pretty handsome. I'll share a secret with you. I tested my sales page on Fastweb Formula a lot. And I put up video after video to test short, long, face to camera, face with slides, animation black and white, animation color, with music, without music. The one that I've got now was the clear winner of all of those, and it's an animation.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I really think it's all about, you know, sort of zigging where other people are zagging. So, you know, it used to be with opt-in bribes, this is kind of interesting, but it used to be that free reports really worked well. And then it got to the point where everyone was doing free reports, and then video opt-in bribes, you know, just download to get this video, this free video, that was working better. And then everyone started doing that. And then free reports started working again. And then, you know, like Ryan Dice tested like literally like the handwritten letter or the business plan on the back of the napkin. And that was sort of unique. So everyone wanted that. And then everyone was doing that. And we started testing software opt-in bribes, like making software available when people opted. And that outperformed, you know, even the handwritten notes and a whole bunch of other things. And this really had to do with providing something that was different than what everyone else is doing. And everyone right now is doing the talking head video. And I think that's really good for blog posts and for establishing rapport. But when it comes to a sales video, I think people want to see text and they want to see results and they want to see sort of concrete examples of what they're going to be getting. And that really is above and beyond. You know, with software, everyone's doing an explainer video, right? Hey, this is Bob. Bob works for Acme Corp, and Acme Corp wants to whatever. And this is, you know, and those aren't working as well as, I mean, we've tried those. Those aren't working as well as what we're doing right now. Now, which is just demonstrating the product, because most people in their sales videos simply don't demonstrate the product, and it's at this very conceptual level. So in my opinion, and based on what we've seen, this is really just about providing something that is unique and different and not doing what everyone else is doing.
Well, there you go. Well, I think that definitely you've got to take into a lot of account the fact that you have software, and people looking at software are going to want deliverables, specs, and technical stuff. I've actually put a face-to-camera video for my event because it's a little bit less tangible and it's more personal. And I'm hoping that I can carry some of the momentum from all of the live videos that I have been putting people in front of, and that they just want to extend that. Plus, it's a hell of a lot faster to make. The whole thing from scripting to videoing to producing probably took 45 to 50 minutes. So you have to weigh up speed of implementation as well. I imagine the motion stuff can take a little longer till it gets out of the pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. You know, with that sort of event, you know, what we really want, why I'm coming, is because I want to see you, and I really enjoy your blog videos. And to have all of that in Technicolor, you know, you in 3D, and you know, to see what you're doing and hear from you. I mean, you really, in a lot of ways, are the product, right? So, you know, if you were to be like, here's the venue and here's the seats and here's the, you know, here's an exact, you know, order of events. Like, I'm not, I mean, maybe I'm sure that'd be cool. And, you know, and it certainly is attractive that it's in a cool city, you know, in the heart of downtown. And that's all of that's awesome. But, I mean, you've taught me a lot of cool stuff. So, I mean, it's, to me, like, you are the product.
Well, in this case, it is, it's really just, it's going to be me, you, and Ezra, talking about stuff. So I think it's heavily biased towards me. I'm going to be stepping people through the results I've been getting. And we've talked about before, like, just the affiliate side of what I'm doing with my blog is working well, but you can imagine the services and product side, the stuff that I actually own, is going particularly well. So I'm taking a year-long snapshot on that. Talking about some of the things I didn't do correctly that I wish I would do better the first time around, so I can save people a lot of problems there. I'm going to talk about how to create content. Like, you and I are both prolific content creators, and some people seem to struggle with that. So we'll be covering that. And we're going to do a live podcast. That should be fun. We'll actually be recording an episode of Think, Act, Get there in front of the crowd. It's like, cool. The best way to do a podcast is with a live crowd. And talking about how I simplify things and revealing a few case studies and how to take action on all the stuff I talk about for 2 days. So I'm looking forward to it. Not that long from the time of recording this. So I'll be seeing you soon. Bring your party gear, because it's going to be quite fun.
I'm so looking forward to it. I'll be jet lagged anyway, so I won't be able to sleep, so I might as well just party it up with everyone.
Yeah, I think we'll tip a pale ale down your gullet and you'll be fine. All right, Clay, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for the update with the test results. I'll be asking you for more details soon. I'm always interested in what's new, what's the latest stuff, and how people are applying this wonderful tool. Listener, if you don't have lead pages yet, you really want to get over there. Go and have a look at Clay's brand new sales video and see what we've been talking about. I'll put a link in the show notes. And of course, I do offer a special bonus if you buy lead pages through my link. So thanks, Clay, for coming along, and I'll speak to you soon.
Hey, thanks so much, James. I appreciate it.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.